are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on another Winky Wednesday. My guest, Nick Winkler, joining me momentarily. I've got to tell you first about how to find this podcast. You probably already know how because you're listening to it right now. You might have found it at LockedOn49ers.com. There are the streams over there. You can find where to subscribe there. There's other articles happening at LockedOn49ers.com. There's a really good film room coming up from Chris Wilson, and we're going to talk about it on the show as well. And so a little spoiler there, talking Wide Nine. That'll be going up at LockedOn49ers sometime very soon. And you can subscribe on the Himalaya Podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere your favorite podcast app has this show and all of the programs on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's where to hit me with those questions. You can also email the show if you have something a little bit longer. You just want to say hi, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, how are you? It sounds like both you and I had some fun with our sons today, having some playtime, some play dates at the park.
Yeah. My wife's like, hey, I set up a play date for you today. And I'm like, wait, I am a grown man. I don't go on play dates. And she's like, no, it's, our son and daughter and this guy, I met him at blah, 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 and his daughter's the same age as our daughter and this and that. So you guys are going to go to the park at this certain time. And I'm like, cool. My wife just set me up on a blind date. It's amazing.
I hope it went well. I hope you got some digits.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, okay. I play hard to get, though, the first date, so obviously no kissing. But yeah. No, my son's so small, I just chased him around the whole time. Nice guy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He was cool, but it's just a little awkward. If I sound weird, too, I don't even know how I did it. I just finished dinner, and I bit underneath my tongue. I don't even understand it.
You only bit one side of your tongue?
Underneath it. Like the bottom part of my tongue, I bit. I don't even know how you can do that.
Like
the part that like holds your tongue, to the bottom of your mouth. I bit that. I mean, I get it. I was hungry and I was probably eating too fast. But as if I sound weird, that's why. Man.
Your tongue's having a tough time lifting from the bottom of your mouth now?
Yeah. Yes. It's like, no, I'm trying to heal. Stop moving. So, wait, you had a little fun time with little Leo today?
Oh, yeah. It was a daddy daycare day for me. Did some cooking of dinner myself just now before the pod. Don't get to eat it until after, though. So I'm excited about that and was cruising around with Leo today. We were just went to the store, kicked it in his wagon for a bit, went to the park. Just had a good time. Father and son day.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I think you said it was pasta, too. To me, I think pasta gets better. Like, the longer it sits, it just kind of becomes one.
Absolutely. I have no problem letting that hang out for a bit. Let those red peppers, throw the red pepper flakes on there and let them get incorporated into everything. And
love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I used to do the same thing, but now the kids, Once Leo starts eating, you're going to have to change the whole way you cook.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of things where I'm like, oh, I really want to put this ghost pepper thing in there, but no, I can't do it. You just end up making two sauces.
Right, two sauces, or you just have to hang out with your own personal hot sauce on your plate.
Right, which is something you definitely do.
Yeah, I mean, Tapatio bottle is my friend, my good friend.
Dude, I'm a Cholula guy.
Oh, are you? Okay. You like it's a little bit more vinegary, I think.
Yeah, I kind of like that. And I also, there's a jalapeno Cholula. It's really good.
Is that the green one?
Yeah.
Interesting, okay.
Oh, it's funny. Got some kick to it. It's yummy.
There's like two listeners that get really mad when we talk a lot about food or if we talk about anything non-49ers. Like there's some people out there that are just like, I want only 100% 49ers. I don't want 10 minutes of non-49ers a week. I want 100% 49ers all the time. And I can respect that.
Yeah, sure. So let's just keep it to 8 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get into – actually, I want to talk about first. I don't think you've seen this yet. Because you were busy today on your play date, but a funny exchange between Marquise Goodwin and the folks at EA Sports. He said,
oh, is this a Madden rating thing?
Yes. On Twitter, Marquise said, dear at EA Madden NFL, due to inaccurate, all caps, and all caps, disrespectful ratings on your last six video games. I'd like to request a ratings upgrade for all of these in this screenshot, at least. Speed, acceleration, agility, jump should all be 100, and honestly, strength should go up too. I'm strong emoji AF. Thanks, Flash.
Did they respond?
The response from at EA Madden NFL under review, they say.
Okay.
So that was about a few hours ago. Then a little bit later, another response from EA. Approved. Speed up to 98. Acceleration up to 97 before he was at 95 speed and 96 acceleration.
Okay.
So yeah, 40 yards of
jump
gold
should be higher too. We're talking about a world-class long jumper.
A jump should be out of this world along with speed. Well, here's the other thing is you start getting so crazy with Madden ratings, there should be a length jump and a height jump.
You're right.
He's not a high jumper. Both are important. Long jumper.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So which jump are they talking about?
Right, exactly. But still, 98. Is there a fast?
How do you not give him 100? He just proved that he's the fastest man in the NFL.
99. That is a 99 speed player if I've ever seen one. So they cut him one short. But at least they answered him and they bumped it up. And come on, Marquise Goodwin was at 95. What are you doing, EA?
I know. Were there people that were higher than him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think I just saw the rookie rankings and Marquise Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma, first round wide receiver, was I think 97 speed.
Oh yeah, that's disrespect. I agree with Goodwin.
Nick Bosa was overall the third highest ranked rookie, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So
that sounds right. Yeah. I mean, he was a second overall pick.
You know what's strange? He probably should have been. He was behind. He was not behind Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, I don't think was even in the top 10.
Amen to that. You know me.
And Quinnen Williams, I think, was one. I think he had maybe 1 point overall above him. And somebody else, I think maybe.
It's hard to argue against the Quinnen Williams thing.
Quinnen Williams is great, too. I think it's actually, it should have been the other way around. I think maybe potential-wise, Quinnen Williams should have been, have the ability to get better, maybe.
Sure.
Similar to like someone like Josh Allen or even, like a lot of the offensive players, Kyler Murray, like a lot of those guys, it's like, okay, you could get better than Nick Bosa, but I think Nick Bosa is the best now player. So I think it should be
pro ready. Sure.
He should start out better and maybe not has quite as high of potential as some of the other guys and see if you can get those guys there because of that athleticism and stuff. So, but it's funny. Our guy Josh that we play fantasy baseball and football with, his football team name is 99 Awareness. I've always loved that team name for a fantasy football team. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, let's get into this mailbag.
I'm in.
All right, this is a good time to tell the fellas out there about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code locked on. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Let's go to Mark.
We can't start with Mark.
Our guy Mark. It's not the downer Mark. I don't remember which Mark is Mark because there's multiple Marks.
All marks are one mark.
I'm okay with any of the marks. Mark, any mark out there, you guys can Can email or tweet into the show anytime you want. He says, shout out to at Bay Area Wink and BD Peacock. He put you first.
Oh, so never mind. I love Mark.
Mark almost didn't get on the show because he put you first, which is unacceptable.
No, Mark, bring it, dude. Me first every time.
And he shouted out Leo, which is always great. So he was back in my good graces there. He says, and of course, Smart. My main man, Leo. I'm a huge Dante Pettis guy, but what can we expect this year? And considering his rookie year, for comparison, what is the best rookie wide receiver has ever done in Kyle Shanahan's complex system, and how does he stack up? As far as Shanahan rookies, I think it's always difficult. It's a notoriously difficult, you know, it's that West Coast offense verbiage, which is always hard. And Kyle Shanahan, I think you saw last year why it's difficult. You see rookies not do as well, but you see second year guy George Kittle take this huge leap forward. And that's one of the things that makes me excited about both Dante Pettis and Jimmy Garoppolo, because we saw Jimmy Garoppolo, when the offense was pared down, they just had him come in and be like, okay, let's simplify this thing. Let's just go out and play backyard football, run some plays. They go 5-0 at the end of the season. Then he puts the weight of the entire playbook in his first offseason on Jimmy Garoppolo, and they sputtered a little bit in the first couple of weeks, and we never got to see them get their feet underneath them as an offense. So now his second offseason, Jimmy Garoppolo, I expect to have that slingshot effect as well. And to go with Dante Pettis in his second year, I think the sky's the limit for some of those guys.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, with Pettis, you know, you worry a little bit about the injury just because he kind of seemed dinged up a lot last year. But I don't think he's an injury-prone kind of guy. And if he can stay healthy and he can stay on the field, man, he's exciting when he touches the ball. I want to see the ball in his hands a lot.
Yes, and I just saw a few plays recently of, and I probably will this offseason go back and watch some more full games, but there was that play, I think it was week one, right? Was it Dante Pettis' first ever touchdown where Jimmy Garoppolo had to roll to his left a little bit out of the pocket, and they broke off the play, and Dante Pettis went to the left corner of the end zone, and it was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch.
Everything about it, yeah.
And then Pettis hurt himself on, I think originally he hurt that ankle on a punt return, right? And that's one of the things I'm like, dude, unnecessary. We don't need...
I don't see it, yeah.
I mean, he's a good... He did a lot of great things in college as a returner. He had a bunch of touchdowns, but I still actually haven't really seen it as like, that he's that dynamic of a return man. And he's fine and he's good at it, and maybe he could be really great, but I didn't really see that in the limited action I saw from him as a 49er returning kicks. So I'm like, just don't put him out there. Don't risk
Here's that injury factor.
Put him on offense. Let him learn the offense. Let him learn one position on offense and be as good as he can at that X spot if that's where you think he's going to be best, and let's see that development happen.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I see it as well. It's like, let's start him out, you know, get somebody else back there returning punts. Let's let him focus on what he's doing, which is he's a wide receiver, you know, and if for some reason, you know, maybe he's losing snaps to somebody else, you know, maybe some other guys are stepping up and he's not the main target on offense anymore, then maybe you kind of like, okay, let's find a way to use this guy, to utilize his best skill set, which coming out of college was returning. You know, he had nine returns for touchdowns?
Nine. Yeah, I mean, that's special teams touchdowns. I think some of them, I think a couple, one or two or maybe it might have been kickoffs. Most of it was punt returning, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so you let the guy, you know, because he's kind of going in as the number one, you know, as the wide receivers go. So, you know, you want him to focus on that. You don't want to get him injured in special teams. But if, say week three, week four, all of a sudden he's not as involved in the offense as he, you know, he was going in, then get him out there doing punts.
And by the way, not to go back to this and rewind a little bit, but the Dante Pettis thing, his strength was at 42 on the Madden ratings, by the way.
Ouch. Yeah,
I could see why he would not like that. They did not mention if they raised that up at all, but come on, man. It's a grown man, a 42?
42. How do they know that, too? They watch him in the gym?
Yeah. How do you... you play like a 42. You're like, oh, come on, I'm a 45 strength. Come on, did you not see me...
at least.
Did you not see me block this cornerback on this play?
Somebody out there has a glimpse at DK Metcalf's strength, I'd love to see that.
Right. Yeah, what's his strength? He's definitely bicep emoji AF too.
Right. Like three bicep emojis. Give him an extra one.
So what could Dante Pettis do in year two? Well, let's go look at another player in Kyle Shanahan's offense who, as a rookie, was super athletic, had some injuries, started seven games, and he had 43 catches for 515 yards. What did that player do in his second season under Kyle Shanahan? He had 88 catches, 1,377 yards, and broke the all-time record for yards for a tight end. And also another great runner after the catch. So that's what, I mean, you could almost triple what he did as, and really, Dante Pettis, what, had 27 catches for 427 yards or something like that?
He could easily let's triple all those.
Yeah, he could easily have a 1,000-yard season, and I don't think that's out of the question. But I have the same reservations as you. Is he built to carry the load? And we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. I don't know if he is. I know that he maybe he could be a great number two, you know, but I just don't know if he's that number one guy. I mean, that's probably why they brought in Samuel, you know. Hopefully he can emerge, you know, as that guy down the road. Maybe he comes in right away and is just like, oh, this system's easy. I'm a genius. I got this.
Right. Yeah. And it's difficult. So we'll see. And maybe, you know, it might be like Dante Pettis where he finally gets his footing in the second half of the season more so than at the beginning of the year. And obviously the ankle injury hampered that rookie season for Dante Pettis. He probably would have led all 49ers wide receivers as a rookie because he only needed, what, 20-something more yards to pass Kendrick Bourne as it was and missed all that time. So that's okay if he's a number two. And Debo Samuel's a number two. And
you need a number two. You need a number three. You need a number four.
Yeah, so you could have three number twos and a stud tight end and running backs that can catch the ball in the backfield. You're golden. You're great.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
Yep.
And you know what I really liked about Pettis, too, is he just had a nose for the end zone. I felt like when he got the ball and he was close, he'd be like, okay, I'm going to wiggle my way this way. I'm going to, you know, rubber band my way that way and find his way, you know, past the pylons, man. And that's what the 49ers need, a lot more of that.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that for that reason, and Debo Samuel's a similar guy where they're sudden in short areas, and Dante Pettis can get open in a very compact area. And he's got these Inspector Gadget arms, I call them, where you don't realize that he can go get a ball, and then he does. He's just got this length to his arms, and they extend, and he has these natural hands, so he can go up and get a ball. Debo Samuel is a dog. He plays bigger than his 5'11 size, so he can go up and get the ball. He can lose people in a short area as well. He can catch a ball on a slant and run through that cornerback into the end zone. So I think even though they don't have, you know, say, a power forward pulling down rebounds, maybe Jordan Matthews could do a little bit of that. George Kittle could add to that. But I think they do have wide receivers that can do some damage in the end zone, and I think that's the biggest aspect of this offense because I'm not worried about Kyle Shanahan drawing up plays and all these athletes and all these different players they have. You can get guys open. They're going to get yardage between the 20s. What happens when things get condensed and when the outside zone gets a little bit tighter and it's a little bit more difficult to run down near the end zone? Can they put points on the board, put sevens on the board instead of threes? I think that's going to really be the story of the season for the offense as long as Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy.
Dun, 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 Dante Pettis.
Dante Pettis, also a cat guy. And didn't they have a cat on Inspector Gadget?
They did. No, it was a dog. His name was Brain.
Brain.
Oh, you're right. The Claw did have a cat.
Oh, the Claw had a cat. That's what it was. Right. Oh. Yes. Yes. Good call.
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw. Good call.
The Claw. And, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Was it Penny?
Penny, yeah. Penny and Brain.
All right, dude.
Dude, we're on it. We got this.
That all just came rushing back to me.
All I had to do was sing the song.
All I needed was the song. Let's go to Nick. He says, at BD Peacock, at Bay Area Wink, how valuable is it for us to evaluate wide receivers when we have three NFL QBs? Two starters and Beathard. So this whole tweet was just a slow play to just kill CJ Beathard.
Well done, BDN. Well done.
He says, can't wait till the preseason game. So I don't even understand what his question is. Basically, he just wanted to crush
CJ. No, it wasn't a question. He just wanted to burn him.
Yeah. That was
he got on the show. Well done.
Yeah, that's another Nick. That was his stink.
We don't need to do one for me today. That was it.
Matt Maiocco was on with Larry Kruger on KNBR the other day when I was driving into San Francisco, and it was a cool segment. Jennifer Lee Chan was on as well, so, you know, nice to hear some 49ers talk on.
Friend of the show.
On there. Yeah, friend of the show, all of them. And very, you know, I haven't had Maiocco on yet.
I
got to get Maiocco on. Although I think Matt Barrows might get jealous. And I don't want to burn that bridge.
You don't want to ruin that relationship.
So, yeah, I'd have to run that by the other Matt.
Check in with Barrows first. Smart.
But they talked about that very thing in the quarterback. And Larry Kruger was sort of, the way I feel about it, it was blown away that Maiocco was saying, you know, it's not a done deal, and that a lot of people in the building really like C.J. Beathard, and maybe C.J. Beathard is actually a little bit further ahead of Mullins for the number two quarterback spot, and that blows my mind.
It does. I mean, we're not in the building. We're not in the meetings, you know, this and that. So, you know, these people have a lot more information than we do, but when it just comes down to the eye test, man, it just doesn't seem like they're even close to one another.
Just look at the results. It's not it's not even rocket science. It's not even that hard. It's not even like a thing where, oh, man, it's a running back and, you know, it looks good here, but he's choosing the wrong holes and that's not going to work long term. Or, you know, it's night and day. It's a different football team It was a different football team when Jimmy Garoppolo's in there than either one of those guys, and it was much different when they went to Mullins after C.J. Beathard. And to me,
there's a reason they didn't go back to Beathard, too.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing. So maybe they're being coy. They're trying to either build trade value in C.J. Beathard and pump him up because they know they want to get rid of him and keep Mullins, or the opposite, where they think, oh, we can get something from Mullins, so we're trying to prop C.J. Beathard up for that, and they're thinking about, you know, some sort of a trade value. I don't think that's the case, but that would maybe make some sense. But if they really cut Mullins, say, and have C.J. Beathard as the number two guy, or even have C.J. as the number two and keep all three quarterbacks, I would start to have some big questions about the coaching staff and the front office and some decision-making there, because it's not even close. It's not remotely even a conversation in my mind. It's Nick Mullins is so far and away a better quarterback. Everything in, like, I don't care how tall he is. I don't care how strong his arm is. He's a better quarterback than C.J. Beathard. They've proven that over the course of their short careers, and it's not even a question to me.
Yeah, I mean, even if he practices better, like, you just go back and it's one of those things where you're like, you're playing against a team and, you know, you're doing well all of a sudden and you're like, yeah, trying to rub it in their face, and they just look up and go, scoreboard, you know, because they're winning. Mullins could just be like, dude, check the tape. Like, yeah, I don't care what this guy does in practice, how much better he's doing than me. Like, let's go watch film of actual games that mattered. Who did better? Who looked like a real NFL quarterback?
And it's not like C.J. Beathard, he's maybe more physically impressive than Nick Mullins, sure, as most NFL quarterbacks are, but it's not like C.J. Beathard is some huge strapping, gunslinging, huge-armed, super-athletic guy either.
Good point. Yeah, and you don't have to be that prototype quarterback to succeed in the NFL. There's quite a few right now out there that aren't big and tall and strong, and they get the job done. I mean, Drew Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, you're talking about a guy who's smaller than I am, but he's out there slinging it week in and week out because, you know, he's got the brain, he's got the arm, and I think Mullins got both of those as well. He's very accurate. He showed that last year. And he gets the system. That's really what's most important, I think, when it comes down to Kyle Shanahan's offense, is do you understand where the ball's going? Do you know where your guys are going to be? Can you throw a guy open, as opposed to what Beathard did every time he touched the ball, which is like, nobody's open. Nobody's open. I'm going to run or get sacked.
Yeah, he took a lot of hits and holding the ball. Yeah, there's definitely an it factor in, like, can you – it doesn't take that long to see if someone has it or someone doesn't.
Sure.
Like Blaine Gabbert. You watch Blaine Gabbert for – one series and you're like, nope, let's move on to the next guy.
Not gonna work.
not happening. But still, teams still brought him in and gave him a shot, which sometimes it's mind-blowing. So, and it might have to do with, you know, that where he was drafted in that draft, sure, pedigree, and they don't want to be wrong about a third round pick, but it's too late.
And maybe he practices really well.
That's true. Yeah, maybe he just looks amazing in practice. I don't know.
Yeah. But bring that's a guy in, you're like, yes, yes, yes.
That's a good segue into the next question. A long email from Paul. We won't get to all of it, but we'll get to that right after the break. This podcast is brought to you in part by our friends at Hotels.com and Blue Chew. Email from Paul. He's had some very nice things to say. Appreciate the email, Paul. He said, I started listening last offseason and have been a big fan ever since. I absolutely love your narrative style and overall approach with the podcast. It's informative and insightful, but also fun and open. Wink is great as well. This is my first time reaching out, but I had some questions and some thoughts. And he did have some C.J. Beathard versus BDN thoughts here. C.J. versus BDN, do you see any redeeming qualities in C.J.? See, Paul's a listener. He knows that I don't think that there are that many redeeming qualities. I probably don't talk about C.J. Beathard's redeeming qualities that much. He said, to me, he is clearly a bust, and I have zero fear of him going on to another team and becoming a prolific quarterback. I want him gone ASAP. BDN, on the other hand, showed a lot of great qualities, and I will be crushed if he is not the backup this year. Is this a close competition in your eyes? We just covered that, but I think it's clear. It's not like I have some trained eye, and you and I are like, wow, C.J. Beathard is not as good as Nick Mullins. I think every 49ers fan, I think everybody who watched games last year that's listening to this podcast feels the exact same way.
Yeah, if there's someone out there that doesn't feel that way, that does feel that Beathard is a better quarterback, Mullins, please tell us why. Please. Right. I'd love to hear it because, yeah, you're right. We all saw it. You know, we all see with our eyes just the difference between the two. I mean, I guess if you did have to say something nice about Beathard, he's a tough guy. You know, he could take a hit and get right back up and keep playing. And, you know, 2 years ago, he got that first win for the 49ers, really gritted it out and, you know, got hit a lot and kept getting back up. So, you know, there's something to be said for being tough and durable. And like you said, you know, the best of ability is availability, you know, so he definitely can be available when needed.
And I can understand why the coaching staff would like him, and there's nothing against C.J. Beathard, and it's not his fault he was overdrafted in the third round.
Sure.
Just like Solomon Thomas, people give him crap. It's not his fault he was the second or third pick in the draft. You know, they can only be who they are. And
right.
It's nothing against, personally, C.J. Beathard. He's just not as good of a quarterback as Nick Mullins, and that's where the frustration comes from, is the fact that they're even trying to pretend that he is and potentially putting him above him on the depth chart, which is a little bit curious. So, yeah, anybody, if you're listening out there and you want to let us know why C.J. Beathard is the number two quarterback in your eyes, Mr. and Mrs. Beathard, if you're out there listening and want to tweet the show, let us know. We'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, old college teammates, you know, something. Let us know. Not even just to be the number two, just to be on the roster. Like, what's he got?
And I think Paul makes a perfect point there. He says, if you cut C.J. Beathard, there's no worries at all that – you know, that he gets picked up somewhere else and becomes
and comes back and beats you.
Right.
Yeah, you don't worry about that. You're not going to lose any sleep.
Right.
You probably even sneak him out of the practice squad.
On the other hand, Nick Mullins,
he showed it.
I mean, I would understand if they traded Nick Mullins.
Right.
They said, okay, we like C.J. Beathard enough that we don't want anybody that's not named Jimmy Garoppolo to play, period. So it's okay if we trade Nick Mullins because we can get something back and we do like C.J. Beathard enough. That would be the only understandable path to, or injury would be the only understandable path to C.J. Beathard being the number two.
Yeah, I can see that.
Paul goes on to say, warning, unpopular opinion.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
Mullins should start game one this year. Shanny said Jerick McKinnon and Jimmy G were about the same as far as the knee recovery timeline, both not healed up 100% yet. So why is Jerick not playing, waiting for a full recovery, but Jimmy is playing and on track to start with a partially healed knee? From a strategic standpoint, this is a win-win to start Mullins. If Mullins wins games, we can let the knee fully heal and further develop our young quarterback. If Mullins loses, Jimmy can come in and save the day like he did in his first 49ers season.
That's not a bad opinion. I mean, I see where you're going with it. Like, the math adds up. That being said, they're two totally different positions. You know, a lot more cutting and a chance to get hit on every single play at the running back position as opposed to quarterback.
This is a very Madden thing to do, is your quarterback's not healed up, so you start the other guy, try to give him a couple points on his overall rating, and then you put the other guy back in. But in the real world, yeah, that would be a very unpopular thing to do, and I think there's absolutely less than zero chance of that actually happening. And I think the big reason why the Jerick McKinnon and Jimmy Garoppolo timelines are different is just because of the position they play.
Yeah.
And with Jerick McKinnon, the knee is one of the most important things. You know, athleticism is as important as it gets for a running back, and being 100% and taking hits on that knee and cutting on that knee. And you hope that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to make big cuts on his knee, and it's not incumbent on him playing his position to be 100% healthy like that. And he's not taking hits right now. He's only doing 7-on-7 work and stuff. So they're both supposed to be ready and full go for training camp. So I think that's the difference in Jimmy G working out in the spring and practicing and doing mini camp stuff, and Jerick McKinnon not.
Yeah, and I think the only way you don't see either one of them week one is, yeah, barring a setback or some new injury.
Before we go here, Nick, do you have a wink in the stink that you'd like to get off your chest?
I mean, other than you letting a question by Mark get on the show?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I listened to your show. I think it was Monday. And, dude, who out there is talking about Lake and Tomlinson being an under-the-radar guy? Come on. You can only have so many false start penalties and holding penalties. And you know, he's very on the radar. Everyone knows Lake and Tomlinson because the refs are constantly saying his name.
And number 75.
Ay, ay, ay. No, he's a good football player.
I knew you were going to like that when I saw someone call Lake and Tomlinson underrated. And look, I'm not in the stink as much as Nick is on the Lake and Tomlinson. It would be nice if he cleaned up those penalties. But he's a pretty good, especially run blocker. And, you know, I think he had a bad rap because he was an early pick and a first round bust, as that's what he was thought of in his career
right.
In Detroit. And, you know, he's kind of resurrected his career a little bit. He's just starting offensive
lineman. No, he plays well. It's just, you know, let's come on. These are pre-snap penalties, dude. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, no, you got to clean that up. That's
all. That's upstairs.
That's mental. That's why he never reached his full potential in Detroit, probably.
Physical mistakes happen, dude. It's the mental mistakes that are a problem.
Absolutely. We don't have mental mistakes here on the podcast.
Never.
Yeah.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
That's right. Nick, thank you so much for joining the show once again.
Dante Pettis.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.